I spent the last 3 years learning from some of the best business minds inside the game of basketball. And now I've left my 9-to-5 to create freedom and have fun while doing it. So the question is, how are hoopers and basketball fanatics like us using those same skills that gave us success on the court to give us success in our new sport of business? This podcast will give you the answer. Join me as I learn, apply, share knowledge, and change lives through the game that changed mine. My name is Myson Jones, and welcome to the Basketball to Business Podcast.
What's up, basketball trainers? I do hope you enjoyed your 4th of July holiday. This won't be a long one. Just some thoughts after listening to a few books, thoughts that stood out to me. And first, the better the questions we ask, the better the answers, and the more likely we have those ideas and tactics that'll help us grow. And one question that came to mind is, what are my customers doing regardless of me? One of the books I listened to was called Surge by Mike. I cannot pronounce his last name very well, so I won't. He also authored Profit First, and it is a question that will help us to see the partially see the demand of where things are going in our basketball training business. And it's a good question to ask. What are my customers doing regardless of me, so we can ride what is imminent and ride the wave of demand? And also came to mind once we figured that out, realizing great offers and trends don't always last. And when we do find a wave, I don't think basketball trainers have a hard time doing this, riding waves for all that they're worth. While also what stood out to me, simultaneously preparing to get off of that wave too, because all trends, all waves do not last. And I do think basketball trainers, for the most part, are good at clinching on to things, whether that's a player who went to the league, whether that's somebody who had some success. And we promote pretty hard, but I don't think we get off of that wave. And the waves are very, I don't say shallow, but they're quick. They're not long lasting, at least in the basketball training space, because there's so much information being shared out there. And also one thing we can do is watch for what our consumers or customers are already trying to figure out on their own, or whatever workarounds that they're trying to figure out to substitute the traditional solution. So I think for me, what stood out for this was a way to substitute the frustrations of the traditional setup when it comes to AAU. I think that is a big pain point right now. And some people may be maximizing that. And you can look at in foreign markets sometimes to see what waves will come into the U.S. So I was talking to a trainer who is a friend and a user of Hoops Institute, our software. And he was saying that he went to Europe, and the culture and the way they do things so well in regards to their clubs is different. When you walk in, everyone comes and greets you. And he just said basically he's wanting to model what they're doing in Europe when they have so much success, they have so much retention, their players are better, the culture is better. And then this is all generically speaking. He wants to model that over here in the U.S. So you can often look at foreign markets to see what are going to become waves of demand in the U.S. as well. Think The Office in U.K. first. Think Shark Tank in Britain first. And then coming over to the U.S. And I could have those backwards, so I apologize if that's the case. Also, we can, and what I'm going to do is more aggressively market to the best 10% of customers and see the common traits of why they buy, because why they buy is more impactful or more helpful than how to sell. Why they buy is more important, is what I'm trying to say, than how to sell. And I think both are important. But that's something I got from Jeffrey Gittimer. Why they buy is more important than how to sell. And if we know why our top customers buy, then that will help our marketing, copywriting, our communication to attract those people that we really, really enjoy working with, which makes our job so much more fun, honestly. Another thing that came to mind, a contrarian thought that stood out, is why grow? What's the attraction of getting big besides ego? And what are the economical desires that come with growing? And what is the right size for our training business? Because most businesses have a right size. And our advantage is the ability to be nimble and to try to increase our capacity or reduce our capacity to
take a few days off, to not take a few days off. And we have the flexibility to do that as freelancers or as business owners or owner operator, whatever your position is right now in your basketball training business. So, you know, the book used the example in Rework by Jason Fried. The book used the example of Harvard. We don't look at Harvard or other Ivy League schools and say they'd be better if they branched out, if they expanded their professors all over the world. And we don't measure institutions like that in that manner. And last I checked, this is my personal note, Harvard had an endowment valued at $50 billion last year that is used for their long-term funding. So we obviously, institutions and basketball training businesses aren't the same. There's so many differences. Personally, for Hoops University, our local basketball training business here, I really like the idea of the measurement similar to institutions. So just curious for you to answer for yourself, what's the right size for your basketball training business? Because big has problems. It invites certain people in, it increases expenses, and it gets us to maneuver differently than how we got to the big in the first place, which is embracing constraints, being creative in those constraints, being sharper. And another thing that stood out to me was cutting our ambition in half, not working, not taking time off and slacking and preventing hard work. It's better off to have a goal that is half in ambition than a goal that is out of reach. And this is contrary, because like usually we talk about big, hairy, audacious goals, which are great. And the other thought, the contrarian thought there, is cut the ambition in half, because we're better off with a kick butt half than a kick butt whole. And I'm using butt here. I don't usually cuss. I also want to keep the rating clean here for some of the kiddos who may be listening to this. But I really do understand that to be constantly look for things to reduce and to simplify and give and over deliver on the half first before we start to pursue and put resources towards the whole, is what I really understood that to be. And then we can continue to level up as we improve and get better and sharper. So it's not preventing the audacious goal, it's incrementally moving towards that and really getting momentum and confidence with the incremental approach. And last but not least, reducing interruptions is huge. It's like trying to like get into REM sleep, but our phones keep going off. It's the same thing for us working, having deep work and a conducive environment to train, to work, to focus, to study is important. And it's almost like, and the opposite can be true in times too. I know Duke at one point, I don't know if they did this every practice, but they had a lot of noise and clutter and chaos and music so that they could perform in those environments. At the same time, I do think it's helpful to have a gym where parents aren't allowed, spectators aren't allowed, and it's just the team and the coach themselves. So obviously there's flip sides to most of these things, but I do like the idea of the contrarian thoughts, because everything doesn't fit into a neat bottle of an axiom that is always going to be true and not situational. There are axioms, there are pieces of wisdom that I think transcend time, but these are pretty good thoughts that I think are worth us considering. So hopefully one of these is worth you taking outside of this podcast episode and implementing into your business. Thanks. Hope you guys have a great start to your week. And I'm going to get to implementing some of these things and seeing how it helps.
Yo, hope that podcast gave you some value. If it did, please rate, review, and subscribe to this. It only makes the podcast better. I read every single one. And at the very least, go join our group. You'll see the link in the description of this episode, and I will catch you on the next one.